What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet.
The NCAA tournament is one of my favorite parts of the sports calendar, so I cannot wait to spend four straight days watching college basketball. UConn is one of the favorites right now on DraftKings, and I'm really interested to see if they can repeat as champion.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins, J-E-N-K-I-N-S. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, March 11th, and we have got a grab bag of fun sports stories to talk to you about. And we are, as always, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler, who is recording at 1 a.m. his time, fresh off a 12-hour travel day, because he's a fucking lunatic.
Hey, like I told you, I would die for this podcast and shit. A lot of motherfuckers out here call themselves podcasters. We real podcasters on this side. You feel me? Takes galore
from the SoundCloud trenches.
You all know, right. Shit. Yeah.
LeJethro Jenkins, aka John.
What's that, Bubbas?
It is especially funny that Tyler is flying away from seeing. We all saw each other on Saturday, and then Tyler's like, "I have to fly home so we can get on Zoom and podcast with each other."
What a world! What a life we have crafted for ourselves here.
For real, I'm Guardy B, aka Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
And Jackson is on vacation. I didn't know we got vacations. We should look into that, fellas.
We're the only ones that don't take it.
I told you.
You would think our brand, we would lean in, but like Tyler said, you know, hey, what I'm saying?
We're going to die for this podcasters shit. Out this, you know, motherfucker. What I mean? You know what I'm
That's
saying?
Right.
About so that, man.
We're produced today by the equally lovely and talented Josh and Biko. Guys, thanks for doing all the actual work on the podcast. We
I think we also friends. So like, I look forward to talking to y'all. You know what I'm saying? So taking a day off is like, I'm going to just miss y'all. You know what I mean?
All three of us, without going into detail, all three of us have podcasted at times, like because of things going on in our personal lives or whatever, when I would never have gone, even to my job that I love, I would always have taken a day off. But like you said, it's like, well, I still want to see my friends. You know what I mean? Feels like taking a day off, going to the bar to see your friends or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Right.
All right. We're going to open up with news for John's mom. News of great interest to John's mom, who does listen to the podcast. Russell Wilson headed to Pittsburgh to become a Pittsburgh Steeler. Your mom, it was the two things she wanted me to know when I saw her on Saturday, John, were that my daughter was very cute and intelligent and responsible. And then also, I need to stop getting us to make fun of Russell Wilson on the podcast because she does not appreciate it.
We argued about that. Tyler was there. I was like, Mom, he lame as fuck. Mom, I don't give a fuck. That Peyton, that white man did him bad. You know what I'm saying? You know, she had to choose a side. So she went with the lame ass nigga. You feel what I'm saying? I was like, Mom, you know what I'm saying? It gotta be that way. It could be fuck both of them, but she ain't like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I remember you told her it's fuck Russell Wilson, but it's also fuck the way they did Russell Wilson. She's like, okay, I can agree with that.
Right. So
Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson are an interesting blend, though. I don't know, and maybe it's just because the Steelers fans I know are have an allegiance to the Steelers because of the color scheme of the team, but they're not really Russell Wilson type football fans. You know what I mean? So it's difficult for me to picture that, like the meeting of those two brands, I guess. But how do y'all feel about that? Is this going to work out, or is this part of the inevitable slide of Russell Wilson out of the NFL?
No, I think if you're Pittsburgh, you absolutely make this deal. You're not paying the man. That's Denver's money you're spending. You know what I'm saying? Fuck Denver. Go ahead and get that man. Like, you know, Pickens is the fucking, you know, your QB1 here. And the wild shit is, you know, there's still an outside shot that Pickett could still win the starting job, right? Like, Russ is just kind of that shaky. But I do think that he turned shit around a bit this season, right? Like, I think he had, like, 15 games, like, 3,100 yards, like, 26 TDs. So, you know, he was way better than the dumpster fire he was last season, right? Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it's Denver's money. Why the fuck not? But, you know, something interesting to me here is that, you know, it looks like, you know, it's Mike Tomlin, you know, Virginia guy looking out for a Virginia guy again. Because I remember when Plaxico had the shit where, you know, he shot himself and the Giants let him go. And he was like, you know, trying to find his spot in the NFL. And Tomlin bought him back. You know, Plaxico's a Newport News guy, too. So, you know, there's a whole little Virginia connection there. So Mike Tomlin might be a real one, just, you know, trying to help a brother out, even though that brother is the most company man motherfucker we have ever seen in the history of company man. But, you know, interesting angle there.
My mom, she pointed out to me that his numbers this year were comparable to his last year in Seattle. You know what I mean? So he didn't have a trash ass. She's like, the shit surrounding him changed. The team was fucking trash. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, she said, as long as Peyton coaching, she will never fuck with the Broncos again. She's been a lifelong Broncos since my fucking uncle played for the Broncos. She's like, fuck that nigga completely, bro. You know what I'm saying? She drew a hard line there. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, like, me and Tyler was talking about this, like, when we was arguing, my mom was like, he had a defensive side called himself the Legion of Boom. The defense did. He had a fucking running back named Beast Mode. And, like, nigga, that's the most football-y football shit that any football player will fucking want. You had to call a man to get in touch with a man to get in touch with him. Like, Beast Mode, you feel me? Like, so for me, it's like the football just feels like a weird thing that he's on. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense that a dude like him would be even playing fucking football, let alone, you know what I'm saying, the Steelers. Because that mindset is so weird. You know what I mean? Where, like, you would have that. Everybody would want their defense called the Legion of Boom. Everybody would want a fucking running back named Beast Mode. You feel me? And he's separating himself from that? What the fuck?
Yeah. It's very weird. He does not move like a football guy at all. Like, off the field. But on the field, he's a football guy like a motherfucker. Russ is a tough motherfucker, right? Like, someone who does not shy away from contact and shit. But it's crazy, though. Like, he's got to be the only person on the planet who would not want Marshawn Lynch in the group chat. Like, bro, do you know the things I would do to have Marshawn Lynch in my phone where I can just text the homie and talk and shoot the shit? Come on, man.
Crazy. Like, that would be crazy. Like, if we had a dream podcast guest, like, Marshawn would be
he's top three.
He'd be number one, like, yes, first round, first pick for me.
Mm-hmm. He's for sure a one seed if we were to do a tournament. Absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of not shying away from contact, we had a great. We've been talking about this the last couple of weeks in the group chat too or whatever. But like, I'm so much more excited for the women's NCAA tournament than I am for the men's NCAA tournament at this point. You have big names. You have great teams. You have exciting young players. You have exciting veterans, and you also have legitimate bad blood. Like we got to see today in the South Carolina LSU game. Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso going after, like, I mean, just going at each other the whole game. I quote tweeted a clip of the two of them talking shit to each other. And when they cut away from the close up of them talking shit, the score was 6-4.
Early. Love it.
But there's a bit of a kerfuffle at the end of the game. One of the players' brothers jumped over the scorer's table.
I think it was Flajay's. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, her brother hopped out. You feel me? I get it, though.
He hopped over the scorer's
table. He didn't want
smoke.
He was just like, nah, this ain't. He was to protect his sister. It be like that. I get it. She got tossed. Cardoso, I mean, it seemed like she didn't even push her that hard, but she's just so much larger. But yeah, I get it.
It was not funny, though. It was a little bit like the dog that caught the car and then didn't know what to do. Like, he jumped over onto the court, and then he was like, oh, she's big. Like,
she ain't basketball big. She also light big. They get like, damn, nigga, like, she ain't women's basketball big. It's crazy.
6'7" is big. Like, you know, but it was funny because he on hopped over. He landed right next to the person he was pissed off at, and then he was like kind of looking around for someone to hold him back. And the person that held him back was someone who arrested him.
The cop did it.
Tough scene. I don't know. I'm curious for your thoughts on that. You said you understand, like, is someone mess with your sisters? So you, I don't know, bro. That's kind of tough scene.
I mean, it's not a good look, but honestly, when it comes to my sister, I don't give a fuck how I look to nobody else. You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping it 1,000%. You know what I mean? I ain't going to scrap with a woman under any circumstances. You feel me?
But that's like, that's my point, I guess. It's only women on the court.
I'm saying it's cool to break the shit up. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, ain't none of that. You know what I'm saying? But like, when it comes, I would have tripped off it. The game before that, did you see the game before that?
No.
UT versus South Carolina?
Mm-mm.
When Cardoso hit the game, went off the glass?
Oh, I saw that clip.
Did y'all see Dawn Staley in that clip?
Mm-hmm.
Before the shit, she was like, they was leaving her butt naked because she ain't no shooter. She banging the paint. You feel what I'm saying? You know, so like, it was like leaving her butt naked. And it looked like Dawn was like, shoot that motherfucker. And then Cardoso looked like, really? And she nodded her head like, yeah. And then walked off like, cool as shit. Nigga, I'm like, bro, is there a gang that's Dawn Starling that I can join? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, it was like, yeah, I said, shoot that motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? She let that motherfucker go, bro. What's she building over there in South Carolina? Like, special. They winning, but it's special in ways that are bigger than just W's. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I was going to say, like, if you, I'm spoiler alert for my Dookie butt of the week. If you contrast like the scuffle comments that Dawn Staley had and that Kim Mulkey had, was like, you know, I wish you would have tried that, you know, with Angel Reese, someone bigger. Like, why are you saying that? Why do you want Angel Reese to be on the receiving end of violence? Like, you're already someone who we know does not give a shit about your players. You know, we saw that with the Brittany Griner shit. You know, you're MAGA as fuck coaching black girls. We know you really do not. You know what I'm saying? There's that angle there, too. And Dawn Staley said some shit like, you know, we know that did not come from a place of you know, hate, of animosity. It's just competitive juices flowing, right? Like that's how Dawn, you played it out. Because
right.
Dawn is someone who is, and you know, we've had discussions like this before. Like, you know, there's in women's college hoops, there's coaches like Kim Mulkey, there's coaches like Gina Auriemma, where we're like, I don't know if you really, really give a fuck about the girls you're coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But Dawn Staley, she is for sure a player's coach. Absolutely, to the core.
She didn't lead them out to dry and shit on them for their actions. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She just talked about it being, you know, just real, like, we really trying to win, we're being scrappy. You feel me? But she didn't also, like, you know, celebrate what they did. It was the perfect answer for somebody that truly cares about the girls and the game. You feel me? And you could tell on the other side, it just didn't feel that way. You know? So yeah, I love her, bro. And what she's doing is special, special over there. And I know a couple of people from South Carolina that really fuck with her and talk to her, know her personally. You know what I'm saying? One dude was actually on the practice team in South Carolina for years prior and just adores her. She's a special human being and she deserves all of this. So
she's one of the many people in the women's tournament that I feel very personally, emotionally invested in how their team does. And then when you look over at the men's side, it's like,
who is that? Oh, he's the number one draft pick. Oh, damn. Oh, okay, cool. I guess I'll look him up.
That's kind of what it feels like, bro. I don't know.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
We've all had a difficult time buying tickets. Lakers games are expensive, but I try and find games to take my son Vinny to. It's hard to find good deals, especially at the last minute.
You shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you.
The Lakers have a ton of home games the remainder of the year. I like that in the Game Time app, they have last minute tickets. You can see views from every seat.
Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. Their all-in pricing shows your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you buy. They also have the Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price.
Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time.
Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code JNJ for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code JANDJ for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, let's talk a little fight night. We had, John, I'll let you explain it because I'm not, you know, you're much more knowledgeable on fight stuff than me, but we had like one of the craziest looking knockouts I've seen in quite some time. Happened on Saturday night, bro.
Ngannou is like he's a boxer that fought UFC. Like he has, I think, the strongest punch that's ever been recorded, like in human history. Like that motherfucker got dynamite in his fucking fist.
What does that mean? Like the he punched on like a force punch, plate or something?
Like the PSI or some shit?
Like the strongest punch ever recorded. Whatever the metric is, he's the strongest. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, he went to boxing. He fought Fury and looked good. Even set Fury down. Fury's the best heavyweight in the world. He's been the best heavyweight in the world for a while. He made Wilder. I think Wilder fought recently. Didn't look good. And I think that's because he fought Fury three times. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, AJ, you know, so Anthony Joshua fought him. And, you know, AJ's kind of, he's shown to be able to, you know, be a little chinny. You know what I'm saying? He's very athletic. You know what I mean? But a little chinny. Gets hit, and, you know, we've seen him get set a couple times. And so I thought Ngannou had a real chance, you know, because he looked so good against Fury. And he looked good initially. But but we saw that right hand had a home. He not, every time he set his ass down, it was with that right hand. And with the last one in the second round, the third time he hit him, the first one he hurt him, and he was like, okay, the fight was probably over, but you got to give him a chance to kind of fight back. It's only the second round. We'll see what happens. That third one, like, it's like, I know this nigga ain't got shit for me. You know what I'm saying? He threw the jab, you know what I'm saying, move, and then threw his whole body into a right. Yeah. And my brother texted me, holy shit. And then the second thing he said, damn, is he okay? I kind of feel bad. Like, he felt bad for Ngannou. You know what I'm saying? Seeing him get knocked the fuck out. I hope he gets another fight, another chance. It could have, but boxing is just a different sport than UFC, bro. Like, MMA and boxing is just totally different, bro. The approach is different. You see a lot of MMA fighters get gassed out because it's 12 rounds, bro. This is a marathon, nigga. You know what I mean? Bro. Like, I think that's how he lost the Furies. He got gassed a little bit. And this time he just, bro, this is, you're fighting a boxer, not a MMA fighter. And, you know, AJ set that motherfucker. God damn.
Yeah. You don't play boxing, as the old adage goes.
Period.
You know?
I mean, you don't play MMA either. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it's just, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's way more success stories with, like, MMA of guys who just, you know, started getting into it when they were 22, 23, 24, 25 than with boxing. If you're not hopping off the porch of boxing at, like, 8 or 9, you know, you're behind the curve. You know what I'm saying? It is a lifetime devotion to your skill there.
It's very few people that have been good and started late, you know what I mean? But I think that's because boxing is chess, nigga. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter, like, this man has the strongest punch. AJ has been boxing. I think he started a little late, but he's been boxing longer than Ngannou. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, bro, it's chess. Like, we see, like, Shakur. Shakur, to me, is one of the best in the world, not because he has the most pop in his, you know, in his fist. It's because he's one of the smartest fighters I've ever seen in my fucking life. If you watch Mayweather was his intelligence, it was his IQ. And so that's why I think a lot of these dudes been fighting. We're like, you know somebody that's, you know, been playing a game for a while, been in situations and all that when we watch basketball, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, the dudes have been playing ball their whole life. Like, we talk about Ja, you know, where he actually played basketball. He wasn't in the gym. He was playing by, like, getting the reps in, playing. You know what I'm saying? That's why he feels so comfortable in situations. Same thing with boxing. I think that's, you know, what happened. Like, dog, it's just a different sport, bro. It might as well be baseball and football. Yeah, I mean, it's the only similarities is you fighting. You know what I mean? The approach is totally different. Yeah. So, and much respect to MMA fighters, bro. Obviously, I don't want no smoke with anybody, period. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a different, like, if boxers went to the MMA, they get their ass whooped too. The fact that Ngannou went 12 with Fury is insane.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's, bro, like, heavyweight knockouts are just so much more vicious than, like, knockouts from lower classes, like middleweight, welterweight, or whatever. Like, if you see, like, a welterweight knockout, like, you're usually like, okay, run that back. I need to see how it happened. It's usually swift, right? Like, there's a very swift, you know, punch that gets thrown. The dude drops very swiftly. With heavyweights, it's like, bro, you don't even really need to see the replay because it took the motherfucker 15 seconds to fall down. It looked like a fucking building being demolished, right? Those motherfuckers fall in, like, sections when they get knocked out. It's some scary shit seeing a heavyweight knockout, bro.
It's like watching a moose fight. Yeah. It's like you're you're a little like, should I go back inside? Like, I know they're all the way over there, but it's like I it's making me uncomfortable.
And if somebody's 5'7" and folds in half, it feels different than somebody that's like he shouldn't fold at all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to see a man like that crumble. You know what I mean? Crazy, but yeah.
We got the announcement from Netflix that they will be hosting a fight between, I hope to God it's more of a sparring session, I guess, than a fight, but between
it's a fight.
Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. What was your guys' reaction to this? And then my follow-up question is, how old would Mike Tyson have to be before you would be comfortable stepping in a ring with him for money?
that second one is a good one. I am nervous about this one, you know, mm-hmm. because for one, you know, I think Tyson is for sure the best heavyweight that we've seen in our lifetimes, right? Like, Ali might be the greatest, but we didn't see Ali, you know what I mean? And you know, at 57, you know, I've seen him do some mitt works and you know, seen him sparring and shit, and he looked like he still got it, right? Like you know, that's just some shit that you just don't forget. It's some muscle memory shit there, but Jake Paul might catch that dude, bro. And that's just going to be just a terrible
not good
outcome.
For the program.
That's
not
what I was going to say.
Program, that's going to be black
gonna,
people.
That's going to be a terrible outcome for the race war that we've been battling in the ring, you know, in between the ropes. So yeah, I just don't like it. Like, I hope that it's not. And I want Mike Tyson to go out there and bro, don't hold back. Please try to knock this motherfucker out. Don't be out there playing a lollygagging, because Jake Paul ain't going to be playing with you. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and we did see the exhibition he had with Roy Jones, where it was like, bro, he beat the fuck out of Roy Jones. Like, I think Roy Jones didn't know what he fully signed up. I think he thought they were going to go half speed, and Tyson was like, you know, giving that man hell. So, you know, there's a part of me that thinks maybe Tyson can do it. But like I said, I just think it's such high risk, such low reward for Tyson here, man.
He beat, I mean, that cash might be crazy, but, he beat the shit out of Roy Jones and didn't sit him once. Mm-hmm. And Roy Jones is a nigga, by the end of his career, you could breathe on that nigga and he was asleep. You feel me? Like, I think Tarver started when he set him the first time.
The and everyone's talking
and after
about
that, every time he got touched, it was over with. You know what I'm saying?
Fat Joe was rapping about it and shit. Yeah. Like, on the lean back remix and shit.
Nigga turned a corner, bumped his shoulder, and fell out in the hallway, nigga. You feel me? Like, the motherfucker just crazy. So, that may, I don't know, like, I don't know, G, like, I feel like, and also, man, Jake Paul, yeah, he's a YouTuber, but that motherfucker's a boxer. Mm-hmm. You feel me? He be knocking niggas the fuck out, and he's big as fuck. He's 6'1", 200-some pounds, he's big as fuck, and he trains constantly. And so, for a man, even though you Mike Tyson, you know what I'm saying, like, this ain't Iron Mike, you know what I'm saying? This is what we gonna call this? This is tungsten. Yeah, tungsten. This is tungsten, Mike. You know what I'm saying? So we gonna see. But like, dude, Jake Paul knocking an icon out, even if he's fucking 80 years old, ain't good for the brand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as far as the second question, nigga, I don't want none of that, nigga. Mm-hmm. No
absolutely
way.
Absolutely, I'm not getting in the ring with 2024
period.
Mike Tyson.
Ain't period. For no amount of money. I love my
78
family.
78 years old, wouldn't do it.
I love my family. Because how old am I going to be at 78? I'm already 40 now, nigga. Shit. I'm going night-night, bro. Shit, same. Ain't no way.
Same. Yeah.
Hey, great question. Easy answer.
When I was, when we were still, you know, stealing diapers and shit, might have been a different answer. But at this moment in time, bro, we're comfortable.
Ain't no way.
All right. The Los Angeles Lakers have unfortunately tricked me into believing in
the lie again, baby. Let's go.
Oh, bro. Really?
I apologize. Playing great basketball the last week or so. D'Angelo Russell playing incredibly. Had one of those quotes that's like overrides the rational part of your brain when he went absolutely fucking stupid against the Bucks and said, quote, "Public humiliation has done nothing but mold me into the killer I am today."
Hey, that's hard as fuck. Because D'Lo been through it, man. Like, you know, I feel like he's just escaping the ashes of the whole little fucking Nick Young Snapchat snitching shit. Y'all remember that shit? When he got Nick Young in hot water with his lady because he was recording him talking about, you know,
everybody remembers that shit. Yeah.
I feel like he's just getting out of the ring, out of the ashes of that. And he's someone who whenever he has a bad game, you know, the social media goes crazy. Get this guy off my team. Like, he's one of those guys, right? Like, he's a punching bag in that sense. But I don't know if you can really say shit about him this season, right? Like, he got to the point. Yeah. He got to the point where he wasn't. Like, I don't know if the market wasn't out there for him, but I think it would have been where the Lakers just like, no, we're not trading this guy. And, you know, the whole thing was, you know, Lakers fans, you know, everyone's like, okay, the Lakers need to get a third guy, but they're going to have to give up their depth if they get that. Like, if they go for, you know, Zach and they're going to have to give up probably like D'Lo.
It's
and
the same
Rui
fucking shit, Tyler. Yes. Yeah, it's the same right? fucking shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and then the whole joke was this motherfucker started playing for his life once he came up in those trade talks. Right. And he's been balling ever since. So, I mean, if D'Lo can be the third guy they need in this postseason, and we're not really asking for much. Like, if you could just give us like 18-5 consistently. Right. Like, I think that's enough to make, you know, the Lakers have a fighting chance here.
I think you have two guys that are so consistently going crazy that even having a third guy who has the potential to do something like scoring 44 points directly on top of Damian Lillard's head, that changes the dynamic of putting together four wins in a series. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I don't operate well when I hate something. Like when I'm mad, I don't move, you know, make the best decision making, bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't. So, but when I hear people that use that shit as fuel, any quote, just it touches me in a particular way. So the fact that mother, like, it felt like Bane, nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was born in the darkness. You merely adopted it. That's how, like Adrian, we was driving. He trying to show me the quote. Wow. I'm like, nigga, I'm driving. It's dark out here too, nigga. Like, but it was that important. Like, nigga, you see this shit, nigga? Like, I'm fucking with it. The energy is crazy. So yeah, that quote hit me a particular way. I don't know if I'm believing the lie. They have been playing well and getting W's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even when Brown was out, he went crazy. So like, yeah, well, we'll see. I'm not necessarily believing the lie, but I ain't not believing it. You feel me? We on the fence right now.
Hope so. We have.
They had a huge win today over the Timberwolves. Anthony Davis with one of the craziest stat lines that you've seen in a while. First ever, I think it was 25-25, 5-5-3. First game like that ever in history. To put the Lakers six games over 500 for the first time since May 16th, 2021. They have appeared in the Western Conference Finals more recently than they have been six games over 500. It's the first time since the Russ trade that they've been six games over 500, which is why I thought it was funny. Tyler brought up the, like, there were a lot of Laker fans on my timeline who were like, we need DeJounte Murray. That's
missing piece. Oh, yeah. I would say 95%. They have bought in. They have bought into that trade for sure.
And God bless D'Angelo Russell, man. I'm sincerely super happy for him. Obviously rooting very hard for the Lakers. And I think they said of their final 18 games, I think 13 of them are against playoff teams. So we will really get to see what's up, you know, before we get into the playoffs. But also, if they can line that shit up so that they end up playing the Thunder or the Timberwolves in the first round, sounds good to me.
For sure. For sure.
All right, let's talk about, we are a Thames appreciation podcast, so let's talk about someone joining the ranks as she was on a red carpet line. And, you know, you're hearing the usual, this is a clip, I'll retweet it on the Jenkins and Jones Twitter account when we get off, but, you know, look over here, Thames, look over here. And then she turned and her ass came into frame and a photographer next to the microphone yelled, and I quote, "Holy smokes!"
He didn't say smokes. He said smokes. He threw an H in that. Holy smokes! He threw an H in that motherfucker, bro. He meant that.
I don't know. It's just the funny, like, what a great... I could never imagine genuinely exclaiming that phrase in a, like, passionate moment like that. But he really, that came from like a past life still in his soul or something. I don't know, bro. That was like 1934. Yeah. Just jumped out of it.
and it resonated with so many of us because, yes, holy smokes.
Holy smokes. Oh, I get it. Ooh. I get it, bro. The thing, too, is, bro, like, I know we got a lot of people, a lot of doctors out here that they do good work. They do some real quality work. You know what I mean? But you can't fuck with a lie. When the most high, you know what I'm saying, get to, do, you know what I'm saying, feeling himself, nigga. Hey, she the one. I'm glad people are now giving her the love she deserves. She been a god, though. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. So when she turned around, Mike said he came on there. Hey, holy smokes, indeed. It would have came right out of my mouth, nigga. You feel me? I would have became Dick Tracy like a motherfucker. Holy
smokes.
Holy smokes. You know?
That's the type of energy we needed when Clay first saw AD on the wedding day, bro. Like shit like that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Okay, you got that shit on.
AD, television. I'm going to start for the rest of the season. I'm going to mark AD basketball, AD television. We did have someone, we had someone on the YouTube who was like, I did not know who the fuck y'all were talking about. I was like, it's been a confusing time for the Jenkins and Jones listeners.
Both legendary, you know what I'm
absolutely
saying?
Yes. For very absolutely different reasons.
Legendary, yes. They're all right.
For sure.
Very excited for the finale or for the reunion.
Oh boy. That shit gonna be messy as fuck. My type of party.
Just quick, do y'all think that AD takes Clay back?
I think so, man.
Think
so, I told you, bro. As like I said, as someone who has been in my fair share of hot water, I know when a woman is done, and AD did not look like a woman who was done, bro.
She didn't look like a woman that was done. But like I said, when she said wasting my time and she kicked him out, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Yeah. I just, it's hard for me to see her look back at all she's done and then say, yeah, but love will make you do it. Mm-hmm. Love will make you do it. Is she really fuck with him? You know what I'm saying?
How deep are y'all in the social media sleuthing on the?
I don't. Yeah, I don't look at
it. Char's been catching me up.
She in TikTok?
I've seen a few Zapruder clips, you know, float out about. But I won't spoil it for anyone.
There's evidence.
What's the Zapruder film?
Some of the couples. There's evidence regarding some of the couples and stuff.
So is there some? Is there some evidence with them?
Because Tyler's right. We shouldn't spoil it. We'll talk about stuff. But there's lots of stuff flying around out there about the different couples. So Wednesday night on Netflix. Is it? Are they doing it live again? Or they gave that up?
Nah, they yeah. It's a live audience, but there's trailers out for the actual show.
Cool. All right. Let's talk about a different saga. The creator of Dragon Ball Z, Akira Toriyama, passed away this week. In a really unlikely way, like I feel like one of the more influential individual creators you could point to across a really wide array of cultures, which is not usually the case, even for people who create stuff that is like globally famous. But we were talking about this, that, you know, there's a lot of jokes going around about it. Like Dragon Ball Z is like a genuine cross-cultural.
Yeah.
And I went to a high school with a lot of different types of people, but you have like active gang members and people who all they watched was anime, who were just like anime nerds. Like everybody was into Dragon. It was not my thing. My brother is his favorite shit. I got him. That was a Christmas present. I got him like a bunch of Dragon Ball Z VHSs. It was like his, you know, the best shit that ever happened.
Collector's items. That's crazy.
The sides of it, you know, showed an image. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like when you put them all together, stuff like that. But yeah, what did y'all think of kind of the response to, you know, to his passing?
I mean, the dude was a giant. Like, I have never watched a single episode of Dragon Ball Z, and even I know who Goku is and Vegeta is and Piccolo is, and like, you know, the whole phrase, you know, going Super Saiyan, that is kind of just interculture. Mm-hmm. Like, I say that shit, you know, often, and I have never watched a Dragon Ball Z episode, right? Like you said, he was truly, you know, he created something bigger than just anime. It was something that infiltrated the culture, that became a staple in the culture. So yeah, man, the dude was a giant, and I can for sure understand the heartache that, you know, we've been seeing from the diehards, but it seemed to be like more of an overflowing of like appreciation. Like, thank you so much for this, because like I said, bro, he created something that was just huge, bro. Like who in the fucking world has not at least heard about Dragon Ball Z, right? Like,
right.
Just, yeah, you know, just a giant there, man. RIP, yeah, man.
I wasn't a big fan. I didn't really get into anime until 2014. But like you said, everybody knew about Dragon Ball Z. Half the basketball team would rush home after we had fourth last period practice. And then they rush home so they could watch Dragon Ball Z. You feel what I'm saying? I seen niggas get jumped with two niggas wearing a Dragon Ball Z fucking. So like, speaking of that too, everybody watched it. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen niggas stealing off of the motherfucker with a Dragon Ball Z button down on the short sleeve. All colors flying in the air, nigga. You know what I'm saying? So like, everybody fucked with Dragon Ball Z. So yeah, it was a big part of the culture. So, you know, shout out to him, man, for sure.
Did y'all see the most wholesome Twitter trend that has possibly ever occurred, of just fathers holding their babies in funny poses?
Yeah, I saw that.
That shit is hilarious, man.
I'm hurt. I haven't wanted to have another baby that badly in a while, but like, that was my shit. I could have gone to the Olympics for creative baby holding, bro. And I got, no, I can't hold a 10-year-old child that's 5 foot something tall. But the on the shoulder sniper classic.
That was fire.
I used to do, I didn't see a lot of people doing, I was big on the balancing the baby on one hand, like once they could stand a little bit, and you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was some real creative entries in that trend though.
And for one, it looked like so many of the babies just love the foolishness their dads
right?
Like, yeah, the babies just, you know, all the way with the bullshit.
Like one dad had the baby like holding it by his teeth, and you could see the light in the baby's eyes. Like, oh, this is my shit. Are we on that new shit? You know what I mean? You got to run this back. You know what I mean? Love that.
I mean, that's like, Yeah, that's all they want is to be held in weird ways and thrown around. Like Vinny and Maya's favorite thing would be when I would just pick him up by an arm and a leg and throw him on the bed. You know, just for like sure. Just walk in the for house, sure. Just pick him up and throw him across the room. That's like their fucking favorite shit, bro.
Rather be like, John, and Sophie be like, yeah, again. You know what I mean? Like, she want more. You know what I mean?
Oh, I love it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to exactly. guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because he didn't need it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values. Premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
All right, let's close with Dookie Butt of the Week. I'm going to go first because I'm going to guess someone else would have this, and I want to do it. My Dookie Butt of the Week is Jalen Hurts, brother.
Oh. He had the world in his palm. But he wanted to be a cop. He wanted to be a police officer.
Hey.
It's, you know,
hey. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've been telling y'all that Russell Wilson is strong in that one, man. Hey, he might have fooled a lot of folks. We'll see.
Really? I hate that. What the thing with me is, like, it's so wild how a black man as handsome as he is. He's God tier handsome. Like, I don't know a woman that hasn't said
he was.
The man is handsome. You know, but he shaves his facial hair and becomes a fucking fist immediately. It's so weird. It's a white man could shave their face and still have some face left. A nigga shave their face is a whole different face, nigga.
I'm gonna disagree with you on that, bro.
There's some white men that is makeup, but there's also white men I've seen that they look bad when they have the beard on. I've never seen a black man look worse with facial hair.
Okay.
Zero times.
Yeah. Okay.
Travis Kelce shaved the shit and everyone was like, yeah, he's ready to start dating white women again. Like, everybody
knew
that.
Yeah, you feel me? But I'm just saying, like, he had the mustache. That was, you know what I mean? But I've never seen it look better for black men, but sometimes it does for white men. And white men still, like, he's not bad. Some people were still saying Travis Kelce was good looking. He ain't the one that was dating, he was fucking with us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They didn't say he was bad looking. Like,
yeah.
Ooh, motherfuckers was hurt when they saw Jalen.
his actual face. I just his actual. And it, but thing is, he just has a little goatee. This thin little shit here makes a world of difference. You know what I'm saying? It's just so wild to me. So wild.
I don't think physically, in terms of aesthetics, there's a lot of advantages that men have over women. Like, we've talked about this. Like, even like straight women would usually rather appreciate a woman's body than a man's body. You could be a very straight woman and still be like, men's bodies are not assembled in an attractive way. You know what I mean?
I got gay homies that talk about how women are better looking.
Right.
They just aren't attracted to it. But women are more beautiful beings. Like, women are the most beautiful beings on the planet.
Right.
There's animals that look better. Like, we've talked about a white tiger. Man, that's a bad. This nigga, like, he's 78th good, best looking thing. There are like multiple animals that look better than us, bro.
Yeah.
So, yes, yes. Let's see
what. But the one thing we've got is that our makeup grows out of our skin. You know what I mean? That's what we have. We have the ability to grow facial hair. I'm looking at, if you throw Josh in there, all four of us have got facial hair. And I know for myself, and I know for John, I mean, we're not allowed to really do anything else. You know, Josh probably in the same situation. Tyler, I'm sure Summer has an agreement with you, bro. Like, I'm sure you know.
Hell yeah.
So, like you said it, Jalen Hurts, there is a little bit of a Russell Wilson. He is like, he's got CEO brain a little bit. So what would cause you to have so little understanding of your brand that you would open door number three, bro? You know what I mean? You don't know what's behind door number three. You know what's behind door number one or two. But like John said, people are mad at you because they saw your face.
But then you don't want to see
what men's you
face.
Actually look like. That has to hurt, bro.
But also, when you open door number three, how do you not scream in horror and hide in your room until the beard grows back? Like, he showed his face in public after that.
Yeah.
I opened door number three once accidentally. I was trying to clean my face up and shave this shit off, you know, probably like 4 years ago.
That's how it happens.
Before the pandy, yeah.
Yep.
And so, like, I showed my face and look at me, nigga. Like, what the fuck have I done? I had to make, you know what I'm saying? Like, making fun of myself, like, holy fucking shit, this is my face. I look like a baby in the not good way. You know what I mean? You shouldn't look like a baby as a man. You know what I mean? I look like I wasn't hitting on nothing, nigga. Like, this lame ass nigga stroke game weak. You know what I'm saying? Hella shit. You feel me? My face told a whole bunch of shit about me that I wouldn't want to tell nobody. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, but like, he was out there cheesing, like, look at the new me. There must be a crazy bag associated with it. It had to be a commercial or something. Maybe it's Gillette. It had to be something like that, bro.
That's a tough look for Gillette.
Barbasol or whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah, something.
Bro, I remember when you bought that fake beard when you were pushing them Hogwarts hoodies, and the ladies were on you, dog. They were like, "Who is that in the beard?" And I remember a chick asked you, "Where'd you grow a beard?" And you were like, "I bought it." And she was like, "Ha ha, that's so funny, hard eyes and shit." Like, bro, like that. They were swooning.
Bro, it was I remember I edited this video for Adrian and Morgan. They were shooting some shit. I edited the video. And I put a fake beard on some, like, I was pretending to be like some other nigga. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, where you grow to? I remember that shit, dog. I'm like, damn, nigga, this is what I could have been. Why, God? You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, you spent all that time on Tim's and you just 12 faces. He got, you know, he looked like 87 niggas. You know what I mean? We going to make this nigga a chameleon, nigga. Like, everybody. It's just crazy. So, yeah, G, but yes, that I remember that shit. And the crazy thing is, the beard only—it was only right here. Like, the beard was only—it didn't even go all the way up. I think it stopped like right here. It was like, that's more than enough, baby.
As that'll long do. As I can't see that'll more than 35% of your actual face.
Actual you face. Know? Yeah. They don't want to see our actual face, bro. They don't want it. And it's okay. It's okay. Lean in. All right. Like you said, our makeup grows from our face. If you have a beard, sunglasses and a hat, nigga, you a bad bitch. Yes, we only see 14% of your face. Who gives a fuck, though?
That's the perfect amount of face. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's the exact amount of face to be a baddie for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah,
men's faces should be dressed like women in the 1920s were required to be dressed. Like, just show a little ankle right here.
A little cheek.
A little tantalized. Just a cheekbone.
He got them cheeks out. That's all they want to see. They don't want to see nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a little eyebrow. That's it, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You got nice eyebrows and good cheeks, bro. That's all they want to see.
Tyler, yeah. You already teased it, but you're Dookie Butt of the Week.
Oh, yeah. It's Kim Mulkey, bro. Like, I just cannot fuck with her, man. And I don't know. I don't wish ill on the program of LSU, of course. None of that shit. But there are coaches out there like Dawn Staley who, you know, actually care about their players. And I hope that, you know, players consider that when making their decision. And I'll just leave it at that. Fuck Kim Mulkey.
I mean, hey.
John, you're Dookie Butt of the Week.
Dookie Butt of the Week, baseball, bro. Baseball in general. I saw Laz posted, the homie Laz, my golf homie, posted a video of Barry Bonds. And it's like the longest, I mean, crazy, right? And it's like it was a World Series home run. I think it was the second of the series he hit.
The 900-foot home run he hit.
Just bomb, bro. How did it not?
When you say someone turned on a ball, like his hips were actually pointed away from the plate.
And I tweeted that. I said, I know I sounds like a nerd, but look where his hips were at when he made contact. You know what I'm saying? We watch baseball geek, you know what I'm saying? Like when I was younger. You know, like the power comes from the legs like any other sport. You're like turning on a ball, that's what you, it's not the hands, it's the hips people are talking about.
Right.
And bro, like, I'm just like thinking about when we watched Barry, where he was him and Tony Gwynn, hardest outs in fucking baseball history. Mark McGwire, I remember them talking about, like, when we're talking about McGwire, like, he struck out a lot. Like, most home run hitters who were swinging for the fences aren't, you know, as hard of outs as Barry Bonds was. He was, and also a lot of his home runs came at swinging balls, you know what I'm saying, outside of the zone, because if a ball looked hittable, he had to swing because he couldn't get hittable pitches because he was so impossible to get out.
Right.
You feel me? And it's like, yes, steroids and all that shit, cool, right? But steroids didn't make Barry Bonds Barry Bonds. You feel me? Because I remember him, he was with the fucking Pirates with the fucking chains, with the chain swinging. That motherfucker was cold then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Outfield and at the motherfucking bat. At the plate too. So like, bro, like he and Laz said, he said, I can't take the fucking institution seriously until this motherfucker's in the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? The journalists, they on some bougie ass shit. He gonna get in because I think it gets out of, you know, after a while, it goes to like, it gets out of the, I don't know the rules, but they can't hold him out anymore. But bro, it is sickening that this motherfucker's not in the Hall of Fame, bro. I don't give a fuck what was going on.
It's like you said, he's had two Hall of Fame careers, right? There was,
you feel me?
There was.
Is he number eight or number two? Oh, you know what I'm saying? 24. Which one? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So just go ahead and put, you know, if you don't want to put.
I'm talking about Kobe, not Barry Bonds numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
If you don't want to put, you know, tortoise head, steroid head ass Barry Bonds and all, then just put fucking Jerry Curl head, you know, Pittsburgh Barry Bonds and all. But bro, like, he's had some incredible stats. Like, I remember reading a stat somewhere that said he's had more intentional walks than like the entire Tampa Bay Rays franchise in their whole history.
Right.
I saw some shit that where I think the number was 28, where they said he was intentionally. There was one season, 2004, I think, where he had like 28 more intentional walks than swings and misses, which is just fucking ridiculous.
Insane, bro.
Like, you know, so yeah, that dude was different, bro. Like, you know, you can make your point that. I think the point that the people who don't want him in on steroids is this. Yes, he was, you know, an incredible hitter. The hand-eye coordination was crazy. He could put bat to ball. But, you know, if you're stronger, you're going to add 10 to 15 more feet on the balls you hit. Right. Like, that's the argument that the folks who don't want him in on the whole, mm-hmm. you know, juicing thing get. But, bro, like I said, you know, he's had two Hall of Fame careers before and after Balco. Right. So, yeah, you got to get that dude in the hall some way, somehow.
Yeah, the real story with Barry Bonds is like he's an asshole, and like that part of it is like a bit, you know, to those writers, that's a big part of it. So I mean, that it's not, there's guys in the Hall of Fame who did steroids,
right?
I mean,
right.
So yeah, But
them deciding with Barry is very odd. Yes, he's an asshole, but fuck that shit, bro. Sometimes you just got to get past that, bro. Like, we're talking about baseball here, and he was baseball for, a 5 or 6 years? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, dog, I mean, come on, G. And then also, like, hearing him talk about baseball, he gave so much of it. Not just the Balco shit, but, like, how he studied the game. The nigga was, like, he would talk about that. I remember there was like a rock and jock game thing where they were like trying to see, there was this one white chick who was like, they said was the, you know, she pitched a great rise ball. This and they were like supposed
Blair
to pitch
Field in Long Beach. Yep.
You feel me? And so like, I remember him talking about, he's like, she's like, let me wait till you see my rise ball. He's like, wait till you see this top hand. You know what I mean? Like nobody gets that unless you like fucking in the trenches.
Yeah.
He was just a fucking nerd, dog, when he came to the game.
For
so
sure.
He gave it so much, too. So, yeah, he's an asshole, but he's also one of the best baseball players I've ever seen in my fucking life. Balco or not. Balco didn't make Barry Bonds Barry Bonds. I'm not talking to you. Sure, I'm talking about you. I'm just saying, period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure. Josh, your Dookie Butt of the Week.
My Dookie Butt of the Week is the Royal Family in England. I don't know if you guys have been following this, Kate.
Bro, Shard just explained this shit to me for 20 minutes while we were putting laundry away today.
I don't know.
Break it down.
I don't know what the fuck is going on. But apparently, Kate is missing. Prince William's wife. Princess. Is she princess? Yeah, right? It's a princess.
She's missing how?
I think she's a duchess, I think.
Yeah. No, she's a princess. I mean, I think they're all... Yeah. She's Prince Andrew's wife. And who is...
Yeah, Prince Andrew. So she hasn't been seen in public since Christmas. Basically, and then apparently she had to go to the hospital for something. I'm not too familiar on the facts.
Shar said it was an abdominal surgery.
Okay, so abdominal surgery. She leaves the hospital, apparently still no public appearance, no sign of her. And they released a photo today. The royal family released a photo today showing that she's okay with three children. But
today is Mother's Day in England, so they released a happy Mother's Day from Kate and her beautiful children photo.
But the problem,
except.
The photo was altered to the point where publications like the AP was like, we cannot run this photo. Like, this has been altered. This is like AI, essentially.
Yeah.
So now there's theories floating around that something's wrong with Kate. She's missing. She might be dead. She might be gravely ill. No one knows what's going on. The royal family is hiding things. And I am not a big conspiracy theorist. That's something that actually really bothers me about the state of like our country right now.
Yeah. No, you're saying the exact same shit Shar said. Shar's like, you know, I don't ever go for any of these, but it's real interesting. But the AP literally was like, sent a thing out that was like, if you've run this photo, delete it.
Yeah.
Like, we can't authenticate it. If you zoom in on it, you can see like weird things over like someone's cuff fades into a table. You know what I mean? They're like, clearly it was like digitally manipulated. And it was released by their palace, by the Kensington Palace where they reside. So, yeah, bro, it's some weird shit. Hop in, Biko.
I'm like very anti-royal family, so I had a hop in here. I think it's a whole bunch of hippity hoopla. Also, she hasn't been seen in 3 months. Like, that's the crazy part, too. It's been 3 months.
Bro, the crazy conspiracy theory that people are rolling with is that she's kind of off the grid because she gave Prince Charles a kidney and shit. Have y'all heard that?
No.
that she gave Prince Charles a kidney in agreement that
Take one from her
in agreement that she would be appointed as queen when he does pass. Like, that's what the streets are saying. But I don't know. I'll say this, though. I remember the picture when Queen Elizabeth died and they were like, hey, Prince Charles, the new king. And they showed that motherfucker's fingers and them motherfuckers look like some boiled sausage necks. I was like, he ain't gonna be here too much longer either, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man.
Yeah. It's all falling apart over there, bro.
Yeah,
he had the Vienna sausage fingers for sure, dog. He has some kielbasa fingers.
That family sucks. Like, they suck. I don't want to get into
They it. Suck, and I like, whenever people get too wrapped up in the royal family thing, bro, I'm like, we fought a whole war to not have to give a fuck about any of this shit, bro.
I'm team Princess Diana and Meghan Markle forever. Absolutely not.
Well, and then that was the only thing I said to Shar, Biko, was like, there's all these people who are like conspiracy theorists on behalf of like, they're like, we're helping Kate Middleton. It's like, are you, or are you the paparazzi chasing Diana? It's like, maybe she's just depressed and checked herself in somewhere to get some help. And people are like, you know, freaking out, like, they're hiding Kate Middleton. It's like, maybe she just didn't want to have 4,000 photos taken of her for a couple months, bro. I don't know. Maybe yeah, she, I, may, you know, who you knows what the surgery the, was. I don't know.
Did you watch the Netflix documentary on Meghan Markle? No. And no. Oh, that shit's crazy. I mean, I'm sure you probably don't care, but if you ever are bored and you want to dive in, the stuff that they did to both of them is like insane.
They're bad people.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Biko,
do you have a dookie butt of the week? The royal family, generally?
You know, I'm going to go with Joe Shiesty because he shook hands with Donald Trump, and I'm just not about that life.
And there you go. So it's on the show. Nick Bosa looked like he was meeting Santa Claus and getting to see Donald Trump. Was like giggling behind his hand like a anime schoolgirl or something. But the disappointment, I mean, that's to be expected, I guess. The disappointing part was the photo that Bosa took with Trump, Joe Burrow's in, and he doesn't look like he doesn't want to be in the photo to me. That's just me reading body language, Biko. Do you agree?
Yeah, he doesn't. But at the same time, we talked about this right before the pod. It's like, if all of your friends are going to say hi to somebody you don't fuck with, you're going to be like, I'll see y'all later. I'll be right here. Like,
I mean,
yes.
Yes. You don't definitely, especially if it's Donald Trump. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, there's no bone in my body who would be like, yeah, I'll stand there while you guys say hi to Donald Trump. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll be over here. Like,
right. I'm going to go to the bathroom, and when I come back, I'm going to try and forget that this happened. Like,
I'm not going to let this ruin my night.
All right. That's our show for tonight. We'll be back this week. We'll have a regular episode, as well as I believe we're going to do a Love is Blind reunion recap. Really appreciate everyone tapping in on those for sure. And yeah, we'll see y'all in a couple days. Bye.
Bye.
The Volume.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.